Malka. Anna.
Oh.
Meryl.
Hello.
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 Let me put you a little bit louder. Okay.
Hi.
We'll just wait. You'll be coming
okay.
soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to mute. There's a little noise in the background here, so I'm going to mute.
Okay. All right.
Gabriella.
I come.
He hasn't come yet.
Okay.
Miranda. Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, I'm gonna mute.
All right. If you go to the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, you'll see a additional link that I just put in that will open up where we left off this morning. And we will continue. And for those of you who are not familiar with our patterns of teachings, this second class that we do today, I don't do the energy process earlier that we did earlier again. Don't do it because it's still with us all day. And so this class will just start with a simple L'shem Yehud, and then we will begin where we had left off. Also, those of you who have received handouts from Hannah to help you follow along, I did add some things that I had remembered towards the bottom of the Shovavim handout that we're reading from. So you won't have that when we get to those sections. And I apologize to Hannah because she goes through a lot of work. And I try not to to do those additions without her knowing it.
Excuse me, I did not give them a handout for this one.
Okay. Well, I'm just... Understood.
Okay.
Okay, I'll meet you again.
All right. Let us begin. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. While abstaining from food and drink is one way of showing one's remorse for wanton behavior, the fast also serves another more spiritual purpose. The burning of body fat is considered an offering of oneself to Hashem. Thus, the concept of fasting as being an offering to Hashem has more than just symbolic meaning. What was offered as sacrifice on the ancient temple altar was the fat and blood of the animal. When we fast, our bodies are still naturally burning calories. There is no intake of food to replenish what is burned up. And as is medically known, what is burned up first is usually the fat. Therefore, by fasting, the natural fire of one's body burns one's fat, and thus blood along with it. One's fasting, therefore, is not just a symbolic action, but is actually the offering of fat and blood, just as it was on the ancient altar. And I will go one step further as in a non-written commentary. Animal sacrifice seems abhorrent to many people in this generation. Yet the animal sacrifice is the idea of each human being offering their own animal, their own human animal aspect, the character traits of the emotions that need to be sacrificed, they need to be gotten rid of. In order to grow higher spiritually, we need to sacrifice our human animal. And as a replacement of that, so we don't have to carve out the parts of us, we don't have to die, God forbid, the animal agrees on a spiritual level to be our substitute animal. And with that understanding, the abhorrence of animal sacrifice is very much a different view. And that is why the prophecies tell us that when the third temple occurs, there will again be animal sacrifice, but not for everyone. Continuing to read. During the 6-week period of Shavuot, the tradition has developed to fast on the Mondays and Thursdays. These are the days when the Torah is read in the synagogue. Fasting is not acceptable on the Shabbat. Therefore, for the 6 weeks, or 2 days each week, for a total of 12 days, one will fast from dawn until dusk, daylight fast, as I described earlier. Yet the mere abstinence from food and drink is not enough. The fast must be focused and performed as a means of mini atonement for one's blemishes. This focus is brought about through the special prayers and meditations performed on these days. There are a number of special Shavuot prayer books available that have a full array of prayers. This is neither the time nor place to enumerate these practices. If you contact your local Jewish bookseller and indicate you're interested in acquiring a copy of a Shovavim prayer book. The traditional Sephardic Shovavim prayer book is entitled Marpe Lenefesh, to heal the soul. This book will outline for you the various prayers and other traditions of this period. During this period, there is also observed a special type of fast called the Ta'anit Dibur. This is not a fast from food and drink. It is a fast from speaking. The tradition has evolved that for one day, from dawn till dusk, one does not speak any superfluous speech. Rather, one speaks only the words of one's daily prayers, and that is all. The day is passed doing something that is considered to be a very powerful spiritual tool for rectifying one's sins. Usually observed on a Shabbat after the morning prayers and breakfast, the entire congregation gathers in the synagogue to perform the special tikkun. This special tikkun of the Ta'anit Dibur is a recitation of the entire book of Psalms, all 150 of them, three times, for a total reading of 450 Psalms. Is 45 times 10. 45 is the gematria of the word Adam, Adam, which of course is both male and female, and is a human being. It's a name for mankind in Hebrew. And anytime you have a structure of 10 sephirot, 45 times 10, the 10 sephirot structure is called a partsuf in Kabbalah, and it represents a complete structure. The Ta'anit Dibur, therefore, this form of the Ta'anit Dibur is considered a completion of part of the tikkun of mankind. The entire congregation reads all the Psalms. They are not divided up. This reading at an average pace will take almost 10 hours. And this takes up the entire day, as the day is relatively short. The readings begin after breakfast and should end in time for the afternoon mincha prayers. In the traditional Shovavim prayer books, there are also additional prayers recited, both before and after the readings, centered on the matters of the day. Starting on December 24th in 2018, which was a year ago, we began a special period Friday mornings. We actually, during the Shovavim period, we did it Monday, Thursday, and Friday. We did and continue to do the study of all 150 Psalms, one Psalm at a time. We do that at a 7 o'clock time frame. We will not be doing the Monday and Thursday this year, but every week on Friday morning, we have a study of these Psalms. And if you've not experienced it, you're welcome to listen to the recordings, of course. But it might be interesting for you to join one of those psalm studies. They're a little bit unique. There is a different form of less intensive Tanit Dibur than the full 10-hour process. That is when you, as you can understand, it's already been a year and we've only gone through approximately half of the Psalms. We have a full year more to go to get them accomplished. The months, there is another form, and I didn't write about this because I just thought of it as I was talking just now. That is, on the Yashem website, we have a list of all of the Tzaddikim. It's done by the anniversary, Hilulah, the date of their death. But a Tanit Dibur would be to just mention their names. You can go, there's a link under the two pictures on the right for the Hilulah or the Yortzeit lists by month. And you can start with Nisan and go through the 12 months. And by mentioning all of the Tzaddikim, you are connecting to their energy. And this is also a form of the Tanit Dibur. It is not as effective, not as powerful as doing a Tanit Dibur with your synagogue or a Tanit Dibur of the Psalms by yourself at home. But it is an effective form. Continuing to read. The months of Tevet and Shvat, when Shelulavim occur, are said to be astrological times of difficulty for the Jewish people in general. These months are a type of astrological Murphy's Law period, meaning that if there is a given opportunity for something to go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible moment. This does not mean in any way that things are destined to go wrong during this time and that we have no control over matters. Those with knowledge of true astrology, Hebrew astrology, as defined by the Torah, know the astrological influences only reveal potentials, but can never predict anything actual. Anyone using astrology to generate predictions violates the Torah mitzvot of idolatry. Nothing is set and definite in life other than the will of Hashem. Tevet and Shvat exert a negative astrological influence, but this force of negativity, dinim, can only become manifest if and when one's reckless behavior creates a doorway for it to materialize. If we act in ways that violate the Torah, we create the opportunity for negative things to manifest in the worst of ways, and this most negative of times. Therefore, if something bad happens now, it is not because heaven ordained it so, but rather because we were not careful enough to have avoided its coming. The cause of something happening in the physical world is always a spiritual cause. We do a negative action. That action is evaluated by a Bet Din, a spiritual court, and the effect is included in Hashem's creation or recreation of the world each instant. In conclusion, how one chooses to observe the days of Shavuot is entirely up to the individual. There are absolutely no halakhic requirements for someone to do a fast. There are no halakhic requirements to even become aware of the Shavuot period. Of course, it's good to know, and it's good to decide to do something to make tikkun at a time when the universe is supporting you in making this tikkun. Continuing to read. Although one is not necessarily obligated to observe the traditions of this time, it is still a wise, meritorious, and spiritually helpful thing to do. One should consult with one's local Rav for specific information and details, what you as an individual can do, and what your community as a whole can do. If your Rav is not Sephardi or is not educated in the traditional Sephardi ways, he may not be familiar with all of the Shavuot traditions. Do not let him off the hook or tell you not to pay attention to these traditions. Shavuot traditions are not observed exclusively by Sephardim. A number of Hasidim also are aware of the importance of these days and guard them wisely. Make your local Rav do this his homework and direct you and your congregation in the ways of the public communal Shavuot Teshuvah. In this way, we all draw together as a body and we assist one another in change. Most important, we bring tikkun to ourselves and to the community at large and help bring the coming of Mashiach ever closer. Whether or not your community will adopt the Shavuot traditions, you as an individual should, as a teacher of Kabbalah, the word should is much too strong. As a teacher of Kabbalah, if I say for you to do something, there's a little bit of coercion in that statement, and there is never coercion in spirituality. Again, this essay was written by Rabbi Bar Sadak at a period in his life when he was very much a left column soul. He was trying to motivate people to do greater amounts of teshuvah. The appropriate word would be, it is recommended that you as an individual decide to do the Shavuot Tikkun. Whether or not one fast depends on many factors, like health, age, and other criteria. Just remember, the fast is a means to an end and not an end unto itself. A fast is supposed to assist us in focusing on the important factors within ourselves that need to be addressed and changed. One can do this without fasting. It's just easier when we fast. From a Kabbalistic point of view, fasting certainly helps refine the soul and atone for one's sins. One who is able to conduct one's daily affairs regularly while fasting should do so. Yet while fasting brings teshuvah, tikkun is only achieved by change, real change of behavior, and real internal change of attitude. During these days of Shovavim, focus on change. Just as the six parashas are describing the exodus from Egypt, after 210 years of living one way, the children of Israel needed a change, needed to change. Just as how many numbers of years you have lived, how many numbers of years have you been in a Western world environment, a Western world culture? We need to change. In the year 5780, which is 2020, Shovavim begins the evening of Motzi Shabbat, the 21st of Tevet, which is January 18th. Actually, it begins on the 11th. Motzi Shabbat Vayechi. That way you get the full six-week period. The opportunity for tikkun ends on sundown, February 22nd. Let us discuss the concept of fasting and charity as taught by the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that our generation is considered a weak generation. A weak generation is unable to fast extensively. It is okay for an individual to perform the five prescribed fasts, which are the fast of Gedalia, Yom Kippur, the fast of the 10th of Tevet, which is this coming week, starting Monday night. Not Monday night, but Tuesday, it's a daylight fast. The fast of Esther, the fast on the 17th of Tammuz, and the fast of Tisha B'Av. Other fasts are voluntary, and it is best in a weak generation to give tzedakah, or tithing, charity, for each day of fast. And so please see below, because there's a lot of information given in this, the rest of this class. As a Kabbalah teacher, I recommend that you do not fast, but employ the other methods of teshuvah during this period. A tanif dibur being one. Gilgul hashelig, rolling in the snow, being another. And of course, charity to a truly poor person, and which I have explained in our classes on the truly poor person and on tzedakah and truma, that Yeshem is a truly poor person. The question is, how much should one give per day for the fast? Various sages teaches different amounts for different categories of people. If it is not difficult to give the amount that you are choosing to donate, meaning it is within your comfort zone, then it is considered tithing. If it is difficult and is given to a truly poor person, then it is considered tzedakah and is eliminating any negative decrees that the individual might be facing. How many coins and dollars should be given for each error? As I said, various sages have expressed different amounts for different errors. When a consensus is reached for a specific error, the amount is listed below. If I do not know the amount, it is not listed. If you want to correct one of these errors, please call me to discuss it, and I will give you a tool to determine the amount that is appropriate for you. The errors relate to the mitzvot, so below is a list of mitzvot that seem to create blemishes in the Sefirah of Yesod. Wasting seed. For men, this is the most well-known error. What is not well-known is that in earlier generations, there was training for teenage males to avoid this problem. In our generation, this training is not done. Therefore, this can be considered that the man is being coerced, although at a low level of coercion. The general consensus is 84 coins or $84. Let me explain that. It is recommended that a penny not be used as a coin, but any other coin, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, can may be used. If someone is able to, a dollar may be used. If someone is able to, the Susan B. Anthony $2 coin could be used. Continuing to read. The general consensus is 84 coins or dollars for each instant of wasting seed. Each instance of ejaculation into an improper vessel, other than a marriage of a man and a wife ejaculating into the vagina, excuse my language, any other vessel, orifice of a body, or the air, is an improper vessel. Some commentaries say this amount is for every incident. My understanding of Teshuvah is that when Hashem agrees to testify that this man will no longer do that action, then the 84 coins or dollars would represent the Teshuvah for his last action like this, and therefore all of his previous actions that are similar would be changed. For women, wasting seed happens when a woman ovulates and does not get pregnant. There is judgment associated with this from the curse of Hashem to Chava. Fasting days will minimize the pain associated with the loss of a potential child that this represents. We do not have a consensus from the sages. Some women have severe pain during their period, while others have significantly less. Some women have difficult childbirths, and other children and other women, it is less difficult. There are reasons for this, and fast days, especially a Tanit Dibur, will sweeten this type of judgment. This is my opinion, but I have students who have told me that it's accurate. Sexual intercourse during menstruation. For men, sleeping with a menstruating woman or a woman in the Nida period, the There are no consensus as to the number of fasts or the number of coins. For women allowing a man to sleep with her while being a nida, there is no consensus for the number of fasts. But it is a severe mistake for a woman, even if she didn't know it. And as I said earlier, most women or many women are aware when their period starts, but not if they're in the midst of passion. Failure to circumcise. Failure to circumcise a male child is the sin of the father. And it takes 612 coins or dollars. But it is not an obligation for the woman. In our generation, as women are growing to the level of the sun, the metaphor is from the prophecy of Isaiah that the moon will grow to the level of the sun, and together they will grow seven times. In our generation, there are women who, unfortunately, will not circumcise their sons. And their husbands listen to that argument, God forbid. So it is still an obligation for those women. Failure to put a tzitzit on your four-corner garments. And this is a 613 coins for each garment. Forbidden sexual relations for both men and women. There's no consensus from the sages. You'll find those forbidden sexual relations in chapter 18 and chapter 20 of the book of Leviticus. Not to indulge in evil thoughts or sights, and there is no consensus, but this applies to both men or women. And each category has several mitzvot, so it is possible that you've violated more than one mitzvah in these particular categories. One way to understand this, without going into too much detail, in the Talmud it describes that the killing of an insect, rather than removing it by putting it outside your home, that you are violating Eleven do not do mitzvot, and you are observing seven positive mitzvot, the do mitzvahs. So you can see just a simple act of stepping on a bug includes 18 different mitzvot. Continuing to read, the Yehudim, the meditations, and other corrections to perform. Some sages and Kabbalists teach that performing Yehudim and with Hebrew letter meditations will enhance our connection to the Shovavim period and help to provide the tikkun that we need. The word Yehudim means unification. One example is what we do during the saying of the word Amen. We do the Yehud of bringing the spiritual level down to the physical and creating a unity, or also in reverse, bringing the physical level up to the spiritual and creating a unity. We do this with the Gematria and our consciousness. We do this with intertwining the letters of the two names Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The gematria of this intertwined name of eight letters is 91, 65 from Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and 26 from Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Adonai is the name of God for the physical world, while Hashem is the name of God for the spiritual levels. And 91 creates this eight-letter name, which is considered a Yehudim, a unification. Using this technique of intertwining the letters will strengthen your tools of meditation. And you will find it very beneficial. I just didn't pay attention to myself, and I added the update, but I didn't change the class from before. So I have to open it again. So please excuse my skipped over sections, and I'll go back and help you with them now. Other tools that I added in 5780. Rabbi Nachman's Tikkun, which you may haklali, you may be familiar with it. This is known as the complete remedy. It's a general remedy for all tikkunim, but especially wasting seed. But it is a set of 10 psalms from Tehillim, and when they are said daily, are of great benefit for all ailments and difficult situations in a person's life. In essence, it is a tikkun, a rectification. By saying these 10 psalms every day, you sweeten the judgments that are coming into your life, but you also correct, do tikkun for those who have not yet landed in your life. Rabbi Nachman advised people to say these 10 psalms daily. And personally, this is a quote from Rabbi Nachman, but I agree with him, obviously. He said he is very positive in everything I say, but I am most positive in regard to the great benefit of these 10 psalms. The 10 psalms are chapter 16, chapter 32, chapter 41, chapter 42, chapter 59, chapter 77, chapter 90, chapter 105, chapter 137, and chapter 150. And this is the general remedy. There are also specific remedy for each sin. But the general remedy is helpful. Go out and spread the teachings of the 10 Psalms to every person. It may seem like an easy thing to say 10 Psalms each day, but you will find it quite difficult in practice. And the reason for that difficulty is assigned to you as to the areas of your life that need correction. And it is also assigned to you. The fact that it is difficult indicates that you are achieving the correction when you do it. Tikkun is always simple. Never easy. The Gilgul HaShelech that I mentioned earlier, rolling in the snow. This cannot be done in areas where there is no snow. But this is the most intensive mikveh that is available to us. Generally speaking, you go up on a mountain when the snow is freshly fallen, and there is at least enough snow freshly fallen to cover any boulders or rocks that you might fall on, because you really don't want to fall into the snow and roll over boulders or rocks. That would be considered harsh judgment. And snow is considered soft judgment, just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The first day is harsh judgment, the second day, soft judgment. And please realize, last night it snowed, very soft, gentle snow, beautiful snow. By the afternoon, the sun has hit that snow, and it has melted a little bit. And by that night, it has refrozen into ice or ice particles. That is considered harsh judgment. It's not recommended. But if you want more information about the Gilgul HaSheleg, which cleanses inappropriate sexual behavior, please give me a call or send me an email and I will help you through that process, learning more about it. In conclusion, this period of Shovavim is correcting the creative and sexual mistakes which occur only because we act as a foolish, mischievous child, running after what we want, immediate gratification, just like a small child, a mischievous child. That is the end of our discussion of Shovavim today. I understand it was difficult being able to ask questions in the first part, so please feel free. I don't think I ever muted you, so I'm going to check. Everyone is unmuted, so if you've muted yourself, you need to press *6. Does anyone have any questions from either portion of our classes today? I look forward to your questions this coming Wednesday night if they develop over the next few days. And again, I wish you a Shavua Tov, a good week filled with peace and happiness. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.